Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. What was the first word that Jesus spoke when he began his ministry? Repent. Repent. Jesus began his ministry with the call to repentance. Martin Luther, in the first of his 95 theses, said that when our Lord and Master Jesus Christ said, repent, he willed that the entire life of the believer be one of repentance. And so thus began the ministry of our Lord and Jesus Christ. And as he continued throughout his ministry, he had his sights set on what was yet to come, namely the cross. On one particular occasion, when he was telling his disciples of the cross, that he would be betrayed, that he would be delivered over and beaten and bruised, and then finally crucified, and then also raised, he said that whoever desires to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. This is what we do when we follow the church year. Today, the first Sunday in Advent, begins the new church year. It begins with the season of Advent. Advent is a season of preparation. We begin the church year by looking ahead, by preparing for what is to come. And in Advent, we have our particular focus of preparing for our celebration of when Jesus came in the first place, when he came at Bethlehem, born of the Virgin, in order to be the Savior of the world. But we also cast an eye farther ahead in our lives to the time when our Lord Jesus Christ will come again, this time in glory, on the last day, when he will return to take us home to be with him. So we are preparing. This is how we begin the church year. And the church year has the advantage of situating us, of re-centering us, of making sure our focus is where it ought to be. And yet it's really interesting, isn't it, that the church year begins kind of with a jolt, with the account of the triumphal entry of Jesus Christ into Jerusalem. The account of Palm Sunday. What is this all about? When we begin the church year, we are seeing that this is what it all comes down to. That it all comes down to Jesus entering into Jerusalem in order to go to the cross. So we begin the church year by preparing, by reflecting, by taking time for reflecting on our lives as Christians, on repentance, on being prepared. After all, our Lord Jesus Christ, when he said, follow me, he was talking about living a life of repentance. And this means humility. Our Lord exhibits this. He exhibits this by coming into this earth in humility, being conceived in the womb of a virgin, being born of the Virgin. And yet, though our Lord is humble that he came in humility, he is firmly in control. This is shown by when he talks to the disciples, as we see in our gospel reading, and he tells two of them to go ahead into a village, and there they will find a donkey. Go and find the donkey and untie it. What would happen if the person who was there said, why are you taking the donkey? You simply say, the Lord needs it, and he will let you take the donkey. Now, perhaps Jesus had planned this all ahead of time, or perhaps this was one more miracle of the many that he had already accomplished. Whatever way it was, it shows that our Lord was in control. He planned this out ahead of time, knowing why he was going into Jerusalem, that he was going in order to suffer on the cross. And so they brought the donkey to Jesus, and they laid their cloaks on the donkey. Some of the people in the crowd, they were laying their clothing on the road to prepare the way before him. And as those people were rejoicing that Jesus was entering in to Jerusalem, they saw something, didn't they? They saw that this was the one. They hailed him. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. But here is the question. Did they know who Jesus was? Did they know why he was going into Jerusalem? Perhaps they were looking for one who would deliver them from the Roman Empire's occupation of their land. Perhaps they were looking for a bread king, one who could feed them and perhaps also perform miracles to heal them of their diseases. Maybe some were looking for deliverance from their sin. But we clearly see that they did not really understand who Jesus was and why he was coming. They hailed him as the Messiah, as the Savior who was to come, but their ideas of the Savior did not comport with their own, because they wanted nothing to do with a Savior who would willingly submit to going to the cross, to dying that kind of death. So though, when they hailed him in this procession into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, that quickly faded away when he actually went to the cross. Following Jesus means following where he leads. Now, to be clear, it doesn't mean that you and I go to the cross. Jesus alone went to the cross. You and I cannot go to the cross because we can no more pay for the sin of the world than we can our own sin. In fact, oftentimes our notions of following Jesus are misguided notions. We may think that we need to do what Jesus would do. We may think that we need to be more like Jesus. But when we make these attempts, those attempts quickly fall flat. And if we are relying on our attempts to do what Jesus has done, or to be more like Jesus, those actually become idolatrous, because we're actually focusing on what we need to do. And we simply cannot do what he has done, not only because he is pure and holy and we are not, but also because only he could do what he has done, and that was to pay for the sin of the world on the cross. Jesus came not to be our example, but to be our Savior. So when he bids us to follow him, it means first being here. It means being here week in and week out so that we are hearing the events of the life of our Lord, in which he carried out his ministry, bringing about our salvation. It includes being here so that we may, in hearing these things, be forgiven of our sins, being strengthened in our faith. This is vital. This is what we need. We can no more go without our daily needs of food and sleep and companionship than we should think that we can go without being here. This is why we go through the church year, because we are following our Lord. And yet, it is clear also that following Jesus means a whole lot more than just being here in church. In fact, it means living a life of repentance, living a life in which we are following him in our daily lives. And here, the Apostle Paul, in the epistle reading, shows us what this life looks like. He says, walk in decency, not in carousing and drunkenness. Are there ways in your life where you live unrestrained and you are not able to control yourself? And he talks about living in promiscuity and sexual sins. Are there ways in your life where you are not comporting yourself to the sixth commandment, whether it is in your actual deeds or even the thoughts in your mind? And then Paul also talks about bitterness and quarreling and jealousy. Are you seeking first to live at peace with others, or do you quickly devolve into pettiness and jealousy? You see, these are the things that so often characterize our lives. And Paul is saying you need to stay away from those. You need to put them to death. And how do we do that? He says, put on the armor of light. The way we follow Jesus is as a soldier who is arrayed for battle, putting on the armor of light. And even more, Paul says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. This is baptismal language, similar to how he speaks in Galatians chapter 3, where we are actually clothed with Jesus Christ himself. This is what following Jesus means. It means hearing the good news, the gospel, week in and week out, and receiving him in his flesh and blood, eating and drinking his body and blood, and in those means being forgiven and strengthened. Then we can live our lives in a way where we are following him and not our own notions of how we ought to live, and certainly not our own sinful and selfish desires. Following Jesus is what our Lord calls us to do, and we are blessed to be able to do so in following the church here, and we are blessed through it, because in going through it, we're going through the life of our Lord, who went before us, not only into death, but also into life, having been raised from the grave to give us eternal life. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.